Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You want to get into game number 8 of the top 20 games of the Kings season. This is a good one. This one required exactly zero research, because not only do I remember the game, I remember the reaction the next morning. This was a one of one.
So let me ask. Maybe should I ask now or later? I'll ask later. I'll just give the particulars of this game that was played on Thursday, January 25th. At the Chase Center on TNT, Sacramento Kings, during rivalry week, by the way, I was watching, it was rivalry week. The Kings.
All right.
The Kings defeat the Warriors 134-133 in a thriller.
Ridiculous.
In a thriller. This was a great Ridiculous. Game. This was a great game. And I remember watching this game in real time, and I was stressed.
Obviously.
And I watched the game again, and all the stressful feelings came back because the Kings really played better than the Warriors the entire game. But the Warriors just wouldn't go away. Steph Curry is part of the reason for all that. And
shocker.
They ended up taking the damn lead with like under a minute to go out of nowhere. Jonathan Kuminga had 31 points on the night. And it didn't matter because my Jay Triano, Mike Brown, whoever, drew up a fantastic out-of-bounds play to get Sabonis the game-winning dunk to get the Kings to win. But even with all that said, that is not the story of this game.
No.
That is not the story.
That is not even the reason that the morning roast was pissed off. Well, I mean, it's one of the reasons, right, but not the reason.
The story of this game, Harrison Barnes.
Yep.
39 points. That just sounds crazy. 39 on the night for Harrison Barnes. 7 of 12 from beyond the arc. 14 of 24 from the field. This guy turned into Allen Iverson out of nowhere. 39 points for Harrison Barnes. Fantastic game. De'Aaron Fox hit some big shots in that fourth quarter. He had 29 on the night to go along with 5 assists. Kevin Huerter, 12 points, 10 rebounds on the night for Kevin Huerter.
That wasn't Kevin's most memorable moment.
Well, no, it definitely wasn't. He was 1 of 3 from the free throw line. Well,
including
the final 2 of the night.
The very, very end of the game.
It's Domantas Sabonis, another great game. 18 points, 13 assists, 8 rebounds for Domantas Sabonis. This and it ended with Steph Curry with a chance to win the game. De'Aaron playing defense. Steph kind of fumbles the ball. De'Aaron gets it, runs the clock out, and does a 360 windmill that he didn't dunk.
The ball just kind of flies in the air.
This was a fun game to watch. I thought this was a good game. So I'll ask the question: too high, too low, right place? It's number 8. Like, what you think about this game?
This is a fun one. You mentioned Kuminga. You mentioned Harrison. You didn't mention Harrison's block on Kuminga. That led to Herter's missed free throws. That's probably why he didn't bother bringing it up.
Goodness.
Because the play is the Sabonis shot. And I can't remember if this was the birth of shoulder, shoulder, shoulder. I just remember these guys went nuts the next day. They were all the Harrison Barnes hate on Twitter. was terrific.
Somebody needs to look. Was this the birth of shoulder, shoulder, shoulder? Because they played before. Oh, and I was watching the game. This isn't right. But I got to say, because
I think it was. I think it was the birth of shoulder, shoulder, shoulder.
Because I think he played pretty well in that first game too, that they won. And Clay. So I was watching the game back, and they talked about the three times prior these teams had played, and the second time was Klay Thompson hitting the shot over Davion Mitchell, and this just isn't. It's not right. But it's in my notes, so I had to talk about it. They do like a. Like a behind the on the baseline type shot of the still photo of that play, and Klay Thompson is shooting, and I think Keegan Murray is like trying to swipe from the side or whatever the case may be, and you can't see Davion Mitchell. That's probably why Klay Thompson made the shot. Like, you can't see him. He's too small. He's too short. I said, "Oh, Davy." I was looking. I said. Davion, is that the preseason game? Maybe no, it was that game. Klay Thompson didn't see Davion Mitchell there. Poor Davion.
Davion.
Yeah, 10 points in this game.
I feel like I'm cheating. I'm having trouble with the next one. I may need to look up that. I feel like this is. It's fine. I think it's fine. I'm struggling. My memory, I think, is off on two, or not off. It's not sharp on two of these. But this was a good game. The end is amazing. The Fox on Steph, and Steph just kind of fumbling the ball.
Yeah.
And Kings winning without Steph getting a chance to do what he does.
So I'll tell you right now, I'm looking at the list. It can't get any higher than six.
This is your list, by the way. There was no input from anyone else.
No. Yeah, no. I think it's right, but if you can make the argument, it can get as high as six.
So I need to. So
and you just bump six and seven.
I need to look up seven really quick. I think that's part.
Well, I know why you don't remember that one at all.
Okay.
We were watching that game on a stage.
That's right. That's 100% where we were. Okay, now I know where we're at. Yep, got it. Okay, got it. I'm with it.
But it's a good one. It's a certified top 10 game. This was great action. This also led to everybody saying that the Kings and Warriors just play good games. They probably had like some stat where it was like. In their last six games or something, or six of their last seven games, it's been decided by like a total of 10 points or something like that. Just craziness when they get together.
I'm dying to know. Like, I want to be sure. I feel like this was short because Shasky was pissed. Like, he was angry after this game. I'm not as good at searching this stuff as the guys in the
Zabo.
Shetty house
Zabo are. Probably can find
Dr.
it.
Dr. David and them, but
shoulder, shoulder, oh, shoulder.
He was pissed, absolutely pissed. And they were furious at Harrison Barnes, and I remember Bonte. I think it was on Twitter. Well, you can't do nothing if Harrison Barnes is going to do this. So good. They were so angry. Just so angry.
Oh, that was a good morning roast.
He's not going to do it when it counts. All right, man. Like, all right. That's absolutely the Harrison Barnes.
Oh man,
the Harrison Barnes game for sure.
That was a killer. And so here's
33 from Steph, 31 from Kuminga. Steph, my goodness.
Oh my God, Steph had some plays at the end of this game. Like he had the little, he like crossed up Keegan Murray, who was trying to get over the top of a screen. Steph goes behind the back, clear lane to the basket, and just throws this nasty alley-oop to Kuminga, who Kuminga was looking down on the rim. Steph was crazy. I have another idea for a list as we get closer to the start of the season that I'll run by you. I'll just say Steph Curry's crazy. Today.
That's fact.
Today, Steph Curry is crazy. Another thing, because it happened again. Now, this happened on steroids, but Harrison Barnes, another good game scoring-wise.
Mm-hmm. Another 24 shot attempts is hilarious.
Crazy. That is nuts. 39. I'm not saying like that's what it should be from this person all the time, but I mean,
I know where you're going.
Harrison scores.
Yep.
This team is dynamic offensively.
Yeah.
I would love to see. I don't know if Wilsey's listening.
For right those, now. Malik had four.
Yeah,
Malik. Just for those who might be curious, Malik had four in this one.
Malik had the night off.
He was outscored by Chris Duarte.
Oh, no.
No, he wasn't. He was outscored by Trey Lyles.
And Davion had a good game. Mm-hmm. Davion had 10. That's another Morning Rose favorite, Davion Mitchell. I would love to see, and I bet if I had more time, I could find where to find it. Maybe you could. Maybe you know where to go. What is the Kings' record when Harrison has 15 or more points? What's the Kings' record
like we did
when they have 20 or more points?
When he has 20
when
or more points?
When he has 20 or more points.
Okay. Talk about yourselves.
I would think it's a really good one, and this goes back to the excitement that I have for this Kings season. People think it might be a little over the top. Might have some purple glasses on. I don't know about all that. Because it feels like as we go back through these games, and a lot of them, damn near 20 of them, that are good games, Harrison Barnes is playing well. And
you
the Kings
said,
win.
So your first number was 20?
15. 15 was the first number.
Oh, you want to do 15?
I was just going to do 15 and 20. What's the record for 15? What's the record for 20?
Okay.
But I say that to say, when he performs, they would win, it felt like. And the issue was he wouldn't always perform. Well, now you have a guy in DeMar DeRozan being that second, third, fourth scorer, whatever calls for that night, who routinely performs. Routinely. Like wondering if, oh, man, we're going to get that fourth scorer or if Harrison's going to get to, like that's done. We ain't worried about that. DeRozan's here. You've got four legit scores every single night. Every single night. I'm talking about Fox, Sabonis. I put Keegan in there, and I put DeRozan in there. I could easily put Malik Monk in there and say you got five legit scores. But they didn't have that last year. Didn't have it.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh.
I'm not skilled enough to. I got last year. Mm-hmm. If I'm off, it's minimal, and I don't think I am. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not. Mm-hmm. The answer is 25 games. Interestingly enough, he never scored 15 points. He scored 14, and then he scored 16. The number of games that he scored 16 points. Plus points or 15 plus points was 25 games. Mm. The record is 20-5.
Come on. You said that's 15 or more? Or 20
that's
or more?
15 or more.
Come on, man.
15 or more. It doesn't even matter because it's all the same. 15 or more. One, two, three. I might be off by one, four. Okay, so it's 9-4. So I think I'm off by one.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 19-5 and 9-4. That's the record. That was last year. I wonder what the year before is.
You could ask Damien. Is it too simplistic of thinking, the thinking that I'm having to be like, yo, we upgraded this question mark scenario we'd have every game. And when it showed up, we were really good. When it didn't, we struggled. You've upgraded that to have a more consistent situation. Therefore, I think you'll be a much better team.
So
is that too simplistic?
Yes, I think it is. And the reason I'm saying yes is because I'm looking at Beam Team 1.
Yeah, Beam Team 1.
He has 41 games of 15-plus. And the losses are enough. So you're going to have to talk if you want me to count the losses.
Okay, well.
Because I don't think it's going to be, it's not 500, but I see some L's. Give me 30 seconds.
I think one of the things about that, though, is, and that I also think about is, I'm asking for bare minimum, 15. I think a lot of times. I think the guy that's going to end up scoring 15 on these nights, like when you have four, possibly five scores, will be Keegan Murray. I think your third scorer is going to be closer to 20 than to 15.
It looks like the year prior is about 27 and 14.
27 and 14.
And that's 15 plus.
And that's still
15 plus points per game.
That's still, and now this may be doing too much with numbers, but that's still, what were they, 10 games over 500 this
buddy,
past
I'm
year?
Not doing that type of
no,
math.
I'm talking
I don't
about
know
just
who you
their
think
record, 49, 39. 40, they were 10 games
they
over
were
this year.
40, yeah, that was the 48 win year.
Yeah. Well, that were 14 that year. So they, but the,
right?
the point being.
Right. It was 40.
Well, no, you said Beam Team 1.
Yeah.
They were 14 games over 500 that year. This past year, I thought they were 46.
46 and, wins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think they'll be much better. I think they'll be much better.
14-6-ish when it's 20-plus points.
And that is 20 games. I think you'll get close to 40
Will's
games.
Not around for one day and my brain explodes.
There's Will in the chat right now.
Oh.
But that's 20 games of 20 or more points. I think you get, I'm being conservative, I feel. I think you get 40 of those from DeMar DeRozan.
Well, they're 5-0 when he scores, well, no, they're not. I was going to say they're 5-0 when he scores 27-plus, but they're not. They lost to Philadelphia by 2 when he scored 27. So they're 5-1.
I think you're only getting 20 of those games. I think you get 40 of those from DeMar DeRozan.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't think he's going to be as sporadic. I mean, what was the number? There were 41 games. What was it? The 24? Where it was 15 plus? That was 15 plus. That was such a...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from Inside the Trenches and Behind the Tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Just, he was literally gone for half the season.
That's not an exaggeration.
Like, he played.
Yeah.
He was just gone. That's crazy.
And you were still able to get 46 wins out of that. Now you get a guy that health providing is going to be there and productive throughout the majority of the season. Combined with the fact that you didn't, and no disrespect to him, but you didn't really like lose anything. It's not like you lost Keegan or Malik or De'Aaron or something like that. Like, you're just adding this guy who's more consistent to the core that you already had. 52 wins is the floor.
All that math made me want some whiskey and a cigar.
Oh, man.
The best place to get that is at the Humidor over at Sky River Casino. It is the ultimate upscale hangout. We were so excited last week, right before the Jets and the 49ers to get in there. We tried to get in there too early. It wasn't open yet. But we were really excited to go in there. The Humidor at Sky River Casino, one of the many places, one of the many reasons to go check out Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky's the limit at Sky River Casino. I know we normally don't do this, but since James Hamm isn't here, let's step out. We'll reset. We'll come back. We'll close out week two with some overreactions here with D'Lo and KC. Chatty House is harsh, man.
Like KC said, it's a lot more. It's a lot worse when it's written out.
Damn.
No.
Damn, how back. Jeez.
Steven doesn't help it. We're talking about Woody Page on Around the Horn or whatever. Said he needs to hop, pretty much time to retire. Steven says he was old when I was a kid. That's tough.
He was old.
He's 78 years old. He should retire and run for president.
Well, he'd be eligible.
I don't think he's old enough for that yet.
Good point. That is a solid point. Solid, solid point. Well, at least on one side of the ticket, that is. Let's close out week number two because we're going to look ahead. We've already done it a bit today. There are some very, very intriguing games coming up in week three of the NFL season. I love we wait for the NFL season to get here. It goes by so fast.
Yeah.
We got the Texans at the Vikings. We got the Chargers at the Steelers. Both of those games in the early window.
Good games.
We've got the Ravens at the Cowboys. We've got the Lions at the Cardinals, which is a little bit more intriguing than I think some of us originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Kansas City at Atlanta. That's a big-time game on Sunday night.
Arthur Blank is going to be inducted into the Falcons Ring of Honor that game.
Great. Did anyone notice that for no reason there's two Monday night football games?
I did notice that.
I saw that the other day.
Yeah.
Neither
one of them are intriguing.
For Arthur Blank's thing, they're giving away two hot dogs, a bag of chips, and some soda for free, I think. You got to pay for the cup for that day.
He is...
They get hooked up over there.
Yeah, I can't say he's a pioneer because nobody follows him, but...
No.
He's like, I'm going to make these prices cheaper. Everyone else, to hell with that.
But yeah, he did that since that stadium opened.
Yeah.
He's been killing it. I think that's a good game, Chiefs at Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
The other 2 days were national TV. Is garbage. Like tomorrow.
Is that the Jets?
Patriots at Jets.
The Jets better show something tomorrow, offensively at least. Like the Patriots have a solid defense and all that, but like for as much as everyone talked you up, like you better show something at this point.
Jets could be 2-1.
Cool.
I don't know if they're like how good they are, but at some point the record going to get you. You're going to be in the playoffs.
Well, no, I don't care if they're in the playoffs or not. They're not good. The Pittsburgh Steelers won. I think you did this last year with Philadelphia. They win all of these games. They're not good. Mm. You can win all these games you want to. You're not good. You're not a contender.
Mm. I wouldn't be shocked if the Patriots beat them.
I wouldn't either. The Jets look like a, at best, average-ass football team.
Mm.
That's what they look like.
This a little bit of foreshadowing, but the Patriots and Jets play on Thursday. That is the first of, like, I think like four or five times this year when the Niners will be playing somebody on extended rest. Because the Patriots come to San Francisco in week four. And I think it's like four times this year that happened. Like, coming off a bye, coming off a Thursday game. It ain't fire. It ain't fire.
Always good when you break out the Terrellones. Overreaction.
Okay.
We just talked about the Cowboys and the Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys are closer to that week two team than the week one team.
Not an overreaction. They're closer to that. I don't think they're that, like, just getting smacked up like that. But I definitely think they're closer to that than the really dominant performance they had in week one. They're two drastic performances.
That's what I mean. Like, what are they closer to? The team that whooped someone's ass? The team that got their butt kicked?
Yeah, so it's not an overreaction. So they're probably closer to who they are week two. Not that extreme, but, like, their offense just lacks weapons. And I don't, like, they're closer to just being a good NFC team rather than, like, the Super Bowl contenders that they get talked about to be, like, during the regular season and all that.
You're a little bit better. Did I read that CD mispracticed?
Yeah, you mispracticed today.
All right. Oh, I do not think that's an overreaction either, especially with that news we just got. I feel like this is easy.
Could I say right there with the Cowboys?
No, you cannot. Okay. The NFC South. I'm sorry.
We talked about Nick Sirianni yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
If things ain't looking right for the Cowboys,
no.
The McCarthy just stays the whole year?
Yeah, I don't think they do it during the year.
Yeah, you don't need to fire him. He's already gone at the end of the year anyways.
Yeah, he's done.
Let him.
He's a lame duck coach.
Let him give you a reason to not give him a contract extension.
I think they could make the playoffs. He's moving on from Mike McCarthy. Mm. I don't know where he's going. But he's,
Jerry or Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy's not going anywhere. He's going to go be an offensive coordinator somewhere. Jerry, I don't know where Jerry's going.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
I don't think so.
I don't think he goes with Bill.
I don't think that's the job for Bill. Yeah. He doesn't want another Bill Parcells.
Mm-hmm. That's what I think.
If he was smart.
Nah, Bill's landing
in Philly?
Buffalo, Philly, maybe Philly?
New York?
The
Giants?
No. I don't think so. Why would he do that? That's a terrible team. With a terrible quarterback.
Go back home.
Mm-mm.
Go back to where it started.
I'm going to say no.
You, with a terrible quarterback, but you're probably going to have one of the top rookies.
True.
You ain't going to have Daniel Jones
perhaps.
There.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Actually, you're going to have one of the top rookies, and you're going to have Russell Wilson.
Well, we do. Yeah. It's not impossible. This isn't an overreaction. This is just a question. We're just talking. James isn't here, so we're doing whatever we want. Does Mike Tomlin need to just go ahead and name Justin Fields the starting quarterback?
After this week. Even if they lose.
You got to win another one? Oh.
Don't got to win. But if he plays well and they lose or whatever, that's fine. But if he plays well enough, like, all right, it's time to, like, just name him the guy.
I'm sorry. We just talked about this. Who's it again?
Pittsburgh and the Chargers.
The Chargers. 2-0 teams. Okay.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Is there any advantage or disadvantage in saying, nah, Justin Fields is our guy moving forward?
I think the advantage is it's not hanging over your team, and it's just kind of, all right, you move forward with him as the guy. And as long as you're winning games, I don't see a reason why you need to even look towards Russell Wilson, because there's no real improvement there.
It's not hanging over your head, but you could change your mind anytime you wanted to.
So that's how I feel about just kind of keeping it as he's playing because of injury right now. Because he, like,
how long?
He could have one bad game, and that'd be kind of harsh to be like, one bad game, we're benching him because of performance.
Right.
But if he has a bad game, it's not performing. Russell's healthy now.
See,
that's how we're putting him in there.
The moment, like, Russell Wilson, the moment, like, because Tomlin, like, say they're going that round. It's like, all right, Russell's hurt right now. The moment he says, no, I'm good to go, then that's done now. As soon as Russell Wilson says, I'm healthy, like, that excuse is over with.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, it's not the craziest thing to think, hey, Justin Fields might stink it up at some point this year. All right, we got to go to Russ.
Yeah.
There's less of a distraction to do it that way, I think.
Okay. Well, Russ being there is going to be Russ being there and not starting is going to be somewhat of a distraction.
Agreed.
No matter what Mike Tomlin does, so maybe that approach of just we're going week to week is the approach. So if he has to name Justin Fields the starting quarterback every Monday or Tuesday, then so be it.
That's how I go about it, to be honest with you. At least right now.
No, it
works.
First
5 weeks of the season or something like that.
It works. The NFC South could wind up being a lot better than we envisioned. That feels easy.
That's not an overreaction at all. That is probably fact.
We looked at that division sideways, mm-hmm. and we've seen Tampa pick up where they left off, which I wasn't sure they would be able to do. Atlanta is showing a little hint of what you guys talked about, mm-hmm. and I think New Orleans, at least to this level, is surprising us.
Or you change it this way, the NFC South is going to be the best division in football this year?
Nah,
I don't think that. Well, so wait a minute.
It's not crazy.
The AFC North, that's what it was last year. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear that's the case this year, or at least right now it's not.
Yeah. I think you could say the AFC West could potentially.
Okay.
I think you say the NFC North could potentially. And the NFC West could potentially be good.
The Rams are going to be bad.
The AFC North, I think, probably gives them the best chance for the NFC South. But like the NFC West, you get the Niners. We'll see
the
with
NFC
the Cardinals.
North is a good one. That's a good call.
The NFC North, you can make the argument they don't have any bad teams. With Detroit, Green Bay, Chicago, and Minnesota.
Yeah, but there's question marks by two of them, no? Three of them. Minnesota's... Minnesota's fun right now.
They all got their own question marks.
I think Detroit's question marks aren't, are they good? It's how good are they? Mm. With Chicago, it's like, you kind of see it. I don't know, though. Mm. With Minnesota, you like what you see through 2 weeks of Sam Darnold, but you're not quite sure. And the Packers, they are playing with a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Chicago's got the defense. They may not have the offense. Did you hear Kyle Madsen on the Insiders today make the argument that they should sit Caleb Williams because the offensive line is just not ready?
I don't think that's doing right by Caleb Williams if you do that.
I was doing a little research on that, to be honest, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Caleb was pressured 17 times against Houston.
That defense is ferocious too.
That's the caveat, right? Like that's the other part. They were playing a pretty high level defense.
They beat him up though. He was taking some hits.
Let's table that thought and visit it more tomorrow. I wrote a couple of things out regarding the Carolina Panthers situation, mm-hmm. how it could tie in a little bit to the Chicago Bears situation, and I think we could have a conversation about that for sure. Florio wrote about it, and one thing I respect about Mike Florio is he literally will just write whatever runs through his brain.
Yeah, I mean he's a jackass, but he does what he needs to do.
Didn't say he wasn't; just said he'll speak. He'll
Caleb
speak
Williams'
mind.
Offensive line stinks. Will the New England Patriots trade for Caleb Williams now? Who knows?
There it is.
Will that make Andy Reid retire?
And there's the other one. Yes. Will the offensive line of the Chicago Bears force Andy Reid to retire? That reminds me of the Greeny tease yesterday.
Oh, boy. What was Greeny talking about?
Go ahead, compose yourself.
You know, he has to know by this point. Like, it has to be a bit.
The D in Big D appears to be gone.
Oh, man. Yo,
okay,
Greeny.
Like there's
Can
no
you say
way.
So, Greeny?
Like there's no way.
Greeny, chill, bro,
like,
chill.
There's no way he's not aware of what he's doing. The Arizona Cardinals. Man. You'll like this one. I'm anxious to hear your breakdown of this. Week two overreactions. The Arizona Cardinals are the team the San Francisco 49ers need to watch out for in the NFC West.
I don't think that's an overreaction, and I'll tell you why. For no apparent reason. Because, there is a reason. Offensively, I feel like they could be dynamic. Defensively, I don't think they're that good, but I don't really know. I got to see more of them. I feel like the Cardinals might be better than the Seahawks.
The Cardinals might be better than the Seahawks.
I'll go the opposite way on this one. I'll go overreaction on that one. Just taking the Seahawks side, I guess. So just after two games, like, we're all bought in on the Cardinals and Kyler Murray now?
No, I think it's more that Marvin Harrison Jr. had 100 yards in, like, 2 minutes. I think that's what is like, oh, my God, this dynamic. And then, you know, Kyler Murray had – to be fair, Kyler Murray had a few moments where it's like, oh –
mm-hmm.
There he is.
And look.
So you think the Cardinals, like, they're a good football team? It's only been 2 weeks and all that, but, like, they're a good ball team.
Well, I'm not going to Barry Horowitz this situation. I'm not going to do that because I didn't go out on the ledge. I played it safe. But I reserved all thoughts about Arizona in the leading up to the season. Because it was like, man. They look like they might have something going on, but I didn't have the courage of my convictions to be like, no, they're going to be good. And they may still not be good. But I think Kyler is a little underrated at this point in his career. I think he's a good quarterback and a playmaker. Marvin Harrison Jr. looks like he's on the fast track to being a Hall of Fame. Like, I felt that at Ohio State. I didn't think he was going to come in and fail. Yeah. Like, he looks almost like a one-of-one type guy. And then between those two, I just always thought they might be a tough team to play. My reservation was, number one, I didn't see them. And then number two, I kept hearing the defense was far behind the offense. Mm. And the defense did give up that game to Buffalo. So I'm gonna say – yes to that question, though. I think they might only say it's not an overreaction because they might just be better than Seattle.
Okay. I feel the need to point out, because I think we're pretty consistent in this. We've been talking a lot about the Rams, and there's been a lot of talk like the Rams season's over at 0-2. The team that the Cardinals just beat the hell out of was the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're one of those people who are like, the Rams stink, the Rams stink, the Rams stink, there's got to be a fine line with how good the Cardinals are.
Fair, but I will say we've seen six quarters of good football from the Arizona.
Absolutely. Cardinals. Yeah, I'm not questioning whether they're potentially a good football team. Mm-hmm. The question was, are they the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the West?
Yeah, I think it's an overreaction for the sake. It's only been two games. Seattle's just been kind of been around, solid team. They got solid receivers. Geno Smith's been playing well. I think it's an overreaction because I think you still got to give Seattle some respect still.
Okay.
Maybe it could be Arizona going forward, but after two games, I'm not ready to say that yet.
And you got Arizona. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you say this is not an overreaction.
Correct.
Okay. Lions and Cardinals this weekend.
That's going to be a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about this one? We mentioned the NFC South. Derek Carr will be in the MVP conversation this year.
That's an overreaction.
Yeah, I don't think Derek Carr is even in the MVP conversation right now.
I don't think Derek Carr is in the MVP conversation in his own locker room.
Damn.
That's tough. That wasn't very nice.
That felt spiteful almost.
What if the offense is scoring 30 a game or whatever by week 12?
But he's not.
Kamara's not going to get.
He's not lighting the stat line up.
Yeah, if
he's like, not playing bad, I'm not like being critical.
No.
I think it's an overreaction, by the way.
But if it's like week two, like, no, why would he be in the conversation? Didn't he throw for like less than 200 yards?
I don't think he did that. I don't think I don't think he threw for 300.
Maybe I'm thinking just an update.
Mike Tannenbaum on at ESPN this morning was saying he was the best quarterback through 2 weeks so far.
The best quarterback where?
In the NFL.
Okay. All right, Tannenbaum said. He was 11 of 16.
Mike Tannenbaum said it, not me.
But he was 11 of 16, 243 yards, two touchdowns, one interception.
Didn't have to throw the ball much, just given they're already being Dallas pretty early.
He was efficient.
That's good. That is good. There's no caveat to
19 of 23, three touchdowns, 200 yards against that Panthers team. Those are some pretty good numbers.
It's good. It's just not
extremely
MVP.
Efficient.
It's just not MVP or even being in top five in MVP.
I mean, it was just discussions, too. They won't discuss him at all. He won't be top five, maybe.
I think I might disagree.
He won't be top five.
Right now, today, I think Derek, you could throw DC's name in there.
It's not going to be a final. It's just discussions.
No, no. I mean, if that's the case, and you guys probably agree, Sam Darnold's been better than Derek Carr.
I don't think that he has.
What? I disagree.
I don't think that he has.
Sam Darnold's got turnovers and all. Derek Carr hasn't thrown a pick yet, though.
He threw one.
He threw one on Sunday.
Let me check. I'll double check. I think he threw one on Sunday.
And I think Sam Darnold only threw one.
I think he had one in week one, too.
Darnold?
I believe so.
Well, you might get penalized for throwing an interception against the Giants.
No.
I could be mistaken.
That's not going to get it done, sir.
I mean, all we're talking about is the four guys who are underneath Patrick Mahomes' name. So
Josh Allen gets some credit there, too.
Yeah, okay. Sure. He's like Glorilla. He could be number two. That's fine.
Well, there's that one right there.
So I'll say that Patrick Mahomes, who obviously is that dude, threw for like 150 yards the other day, had two touchdowns or two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. That just we talking about MVP right now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he should be in the MVP conversation.
I bet you he's in every MVP conversation.
Should he be? Dak Prescott was in every conversation. He shouldn't have been last year.
Not mine. Well, no, actually,
that's not fair. Dak was really good last year.
He should have been in the MVP.
We were all waiting for it to fail and all that, but it was deserved.
Look, we saw the movie. We knew how it was going to end. We knew Ricky was going to get shot.
Still a damn good movie.
We was just waiting for the car to pull up. We knew.
Damn, Ricky.
We knew.
Let me, hold on, give me 2 seconds, because I honestly think they're about similar.
Who?
Sam and Derek Carr.
Who should be the MVP front runner right now?
I think that's true.
Probably Josh Allen. Derek Carr right now.
I think Josh Allen actually does have some pretty kind of no, he doesn't. He threw for 139
yards. Yeah, he didn't throw for a lot in that Thursday game. Derek Carr.
Look at the big Josh Allen guy all of a sudden.
Yeah, I know. All the time.
Fair.
Wow.
Derek Carr.
Fair. Ain't said a nice thing about Kendrick Lamar.
Bro, you were talking
months.
About Josh Allen like what? He was an industry plant or something. Like, he wasn't even real, bro. Like, he didn't deserve it. Like, who the hell is this guy? Like, he was that guy. Who was the dude with the whoopty song? You were talking like he was him.
I still need to see him when you talk about top five, but I can't deny what he's done in the first two games. Derek Carr, 443, talking about yards.
Total.
Five touchdowns, one pick. Mm. Sam Darnold, 476, four touchdowns, two picks.
Mm.
I think they got the same. No, Derek Carr's a little better completion percentage.
You pull in stats, can you get real quick?
Mm-hmm.
Give me 2 seconds because I don't want to say something stupid. Give me Kyler.
Kyler, give me. Yeah,
I think Kyler
10,
had a
one,
nice
2, 3. Oh, I didn't even need 10 seconds. Kyler is 428, four touchdowns, no picks.
No picks. Okay.
For what Jared Goff has been for the Lions, do you think Derek Carr could be that for the Saints?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, be good enough to get him to a NFC Championship game and all that. Or is the Saints team not that good around
this
him
is,
yet?
This is what I'm gonna say isn't fair. It's not fair, but I'd be scared to death of Derek Carr in the playoffs.
For him or for yourself?
If you were a Saints fan.
For him, yeah. I would. I'd have.
Well, that's not fair. Why?
I don't feel like Derek Carr would be able to.
He'd never
been
there.
Right now.
He can't even be mad at him. He'd never been there.
He played well when they played. The Raiders played at Cincinnati. They lost, but I didn't think he played terrible. But yeah, I'd just be a little skittish of
him. Was that a.
That was playoffs. Wild card.
Oh, that's right. The year. Yeah, well. Yeah.
And he didn't play terrible. They had an opportunity to, I think, tie at the end of the game.
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
And this is only 2 weeks. I think my opinion might change if I see a whole season of him playing at a high level. Then I might feel different. But today, after 2 weeks of this year, I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Oh, that's me. That's me.
Whatever.
Give me my MVP's numbers real quick.
I don't even know who your MVP is.
Give me my MVP number real quick.
Baker, bro?
Nah, man.
It's not Baker. Who is it?
That's my boy in Houston.
CJ?
Give me my boy's MVP number. Give me my MVP's numbers real quick.
Okay. Do you have him? Because I didn't think he played that well on Sunday. He wasn't bad.
I think he played well
Sunday.
In both games. I don't know that he
had.
He
wasn't bad on Sunday. He didn't do a whole lot. They had 13, 16 points for the whole game, damn near.
I don't know that he has the completion percentage that some of these guys have. Like, Derek Carr has a kind of ridiculous completion percentage. I think Sam Darnold might, too. Kyler had a really good completion percentage against the Rams the other day.
CJ, and he's still in the conversation, regardless of the, and deservedly so, but he's 69%, shout out.
Mm. Okay.
490.
Grow up.
Nice.
494 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks.
One more time?
494,
yeah.
3 touchdowns, no picks. It's good. That's in the conversation.
Baker in the conversation.
Baker
too,
probably could be number one.
Well,
Baker gets to hang out.
You
for
know
the
what?
Few
I think all of
here.
The numbers are. I think all of the numbers are going to like even out. You can look up Baker's. I think that's going to be about the same. He had a huge week one, which I think is going to prop him up to 5 touchdowns, 1 interception, which is along the lines of what we're talking about with a lot of these guys, right?
Yeah.
The numbers, the yardage number, I'm not as sure about. Maybe
he's
5.
474.
Okay.
Completion percentage of 73.5. That's good. But
Man, I don't know. I can't decide between Baker and CJ, so I got co-MVPs 2 weeks in.
This doesn't matter, and I'm not saying this for MVP. It was just kind of like, oh, that's shocking. You know who leads the league in passing? Yards? Brock Purdy. 550.
Okay.
On the season, but he's 1 of 1. Or 1 to 1, I should say. Touchdown, interception.
Mm.
So,
yeah, I mean, all these guys we've talked about have had a couple, like at least, Derek had 2 of them, but their teams have had explosive offensive games.
Wasn't there a story like after Monday Night Football or something about that, about how passing is just down, like as far as touchdowns maybe or something like that?
Passing is, I think it was the lowest it had been in a decade, something like that. I don't really buy into the,
I agree with it. We got spoiled.
I don't really care,
I think it's just we went from we were watching 7-8 Hall of Fame QBs at one time to, like, now it's just they're not, the guys we watch now are not at that level.
There is that. I think a little bit goes back to these guys not playing in the preseason.
There's also that, too.
Boy, you really hung up on that.
There weren't good quarterbacks throughout the league in 98, but they were able to score touchdowns in the first week of the season. I think there's something to it.
I don't have a problem with it. So if there is something to it, it's going to change then. No?
I don't think at the end of the season we're going to talk about all-time record low passing touchdowns. I think it'll all balance out. It may not be as high as like maybe the last 3 years or something like that, but I think it'll all balance out. I think it'll be just fine.
Okay. All right.
I mean, especially when, you know, you get calls like the Chiefs got on Sunday, then you can do it. I only said that because I see Pino in the chat. Shout out to our guy Pino in Jersey, a Chiefs fan.
It's the right call.
I didn't like it.
I'm fine with you not liking it, and I don't think most people liked it.
But... Well, I didn't. I don't agree that was the right call. I think you let that play.
Is it an overreaction to say the Raiders are a good football team?
Right now, it is.
I don't think it is.
Right now it is because I'm still not sold on what they could do on the offensive end.
Completely fair. But if their defense is as good as we think.
I'm not saying great or whatever. Contenders is good football.
It's good.
Team. They're good. It's a good football team.
Good would be 8-9 wins, right?
9 wins at least, we'll say. Under 500, you're bad.
I think they we've said it a number of different times. I think they can get there.
Mm-hmm.
The really, when you talk about the offense, the thing that keeps me from saying is they can't run the football right now.
Yeah, right.
So, you got to be able to run the rock a little bit. So, they I expect them to be 2-1, and you know they're going to be moving up that list of being a good team.
That schedule for them boys in Las Vegas isn't bad. Like they got a couple ahead of them where you look at it like you got Carolina, you got Cleveland. I don't know what the hell they are.
Yeah, they're kind of just all right, they're here.
Yeah, I don't know what that team is.
That's crazy.
But the problem is, though, if the Raiders' offense is as bad as we're, you know, talking about, man, I don't want that off against Myles Garrett and the rest of them dudes. That's tough.
Where's that game at?
That game is in Las Vegas.
Okay. That doesn't really matter. I guess it does matter a little bit, but there'll be a lot of Browns fans there.
At Denver.
I'll win that one. I'm picking the Raiders to win that one.
Well, I'll let it play out a little bit further. Versus Pittsburgh. And then at the Rams. And it gets a little sketchy after that.
I think they beat the Rams. I think they lose to the Steelers.
Like, they have a chance to grab a couple of wins here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they have a real shot at, like, 4-2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to look. The Red Rocket, man. I mean, what a career Andy Dalton has had. You got to take care of business against the Carolina Panthers.
Andy Dalton wins on Sunday. Bryce Young's career is over.
If Andy Dalton wins on Sunday,
that's not.
Andy Dalton can't come out and beat the Raiders on Sunday.
Well, because today, Andy Dalton is a better quarterback than Bryce Young, I believe.
But for the story they tell about the Panthers, as far as he has nobody, there's nothing there, this, and that. Yeah. Like, he can't win.
Andy Dalton can't come. Andy Dalton, if the Panthers beat the Raiders, it destroys everything I've said in the last week, and I can't go for that.
No.
I'm going to get...
No can do now.
Boy, we still haven't quite figured out what that song is about.
I don't know. What could he not go for?
I don't know. We shouldn't talk about it, though. In light of recent events in New York, I don't want to. I don't know. We only came to one conclusion when we studied the lyrics of that song. But don't destroy my take. Because I'm a AP. Y'all need to take care of business against Carolina.
There shouldn't be no way that Panthers offense does enough to beat the Raiders on Sunday.
The Rams will be a fascinating watch, though. We look at that. You know, that leads into the Kansas City-Cincinnati games. The Rams will be a fascinating watch over the next couple of weeks. Like, they're hurt. They're missing guys. I don't think they're good, but I also don't think they're what we saw on Sunday. Like they got, right. I mean, they lost by 31. Like, yeah, I don't think that was an avalanche.
It seemed like,
yeah. And I don't think they're that, but I don't think they're particularly good. And a lot of that is what's happened through the first 2 weeks of the season, but they're going to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a question of like, can they recover and to what degree?
Right.
So I think they're a little bit more of an interesting team, maybe an interesting team for different reasons to watch in the coming weeks. But by the time week 7 rolls around and the Raiders are there, I'm not taking a Sharpie and writing in a dub for the Raiders.
Yeah, and the Rams are also well coached.
You know? And that's the biggest thing.
They're well coached. They'll be ready and prepared the best they could be.
To lead us back to the very start of this show, that's how...
Baseball?
I meant the football portion of the show.
Yeah.
That's how all of this started, was talking about Sean McVay and him being the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in this coming week.
Yep. So, yeah.
We're out of content. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, we kind of asked it already, but is it an overreaction? I don't think it's an overreaction to say that NFC South will be the best conference in football. That's not an overreaction. I agree? I'm not there yet, but they look good.
The division looks good. There's a pathway to point that out. Mm-hmm. I think you guys were really cooking with the NFC North. I just don't. I just think the grill cooled off a little bit. I mean, the Jordan Love injury plays a part of this conversation.
Yeah.
There are some unanswered questions about the Bears. We talked about the offensive line. That's absolutely concerning. We'll do a deeper dive into these quarterbacks, guys like Bryce Young, guys like Caleb Williams. You know, my brother in Washington, Jaden, we could talk about all of these guys and the positions that they're put in. The question Kyle Masson asked about, do you bench Caleb Williams to keep him from getting hit the way that he is? I don't know what the right answer to that stuff is.
Yeah.
There's obviously multiple schools of thought on that. Get out there, get your hits, learn to play under pressure. Mm-hmm. Or the number one overall pick in the draft, we got to protect him. Yeah. And we just saw what happened to Bryce Young. And I think that's an interesting general manager conversation.
Mm.
How do we feel about Bryce Young? Do we think he was the consensus? Don't forget that. He was the consensus number one overall pick. Is that the guy? Because if we don't think that it is, then we just riding with Caleb. We riding with our young quarterback.
In recent years, has there been, and this could be impossible, but has there been a guy who sat that it hasn't been good for him?
Well, the circumstances have been different. Like Jordan Love obviously sat, but he sat behind Aaron Rodgers. That's not the same as sitting behind Andy Dalton. That's not the same as Jordan Love playing, them going, never mind, let's go to Andy Dalton, or let's go to Aaron Rodgers in that case.
Right, and I'm just thinking more so of the idea of sitting there and watching the game for a little bit at that level.
I just don't think it's the same. Like, find me some. Is there someone who sat behind someone who wasn't good? Alex Smith had a career year, and they never wavered. They knew they were going to Patrick Mahomes. They knew Patrick Mahomes was not playing. Alex Smith has a career year, and they're just like, yeah, good luck. Where do you want to go? We'll get you wherever you want to go. Whoever offers you, we'll get you there. But we're going to Patrick Mahomes. Has anyone ever sat behind the likes of an Andy Dalton?
Well, Scooter said, and it's not the same because this wasn't the plan, but Brock sat behind Jimmy. And my argument earlier was, when Brock came in and played against the Miami Dolphins, I thought he looked great. I thought he looked really, really good from the jump. If you would have thrown him in there week one of that season, I don't think he would have looked like that.
Does Lamar work?
Lamar does.
Lamar sat behind Joe Flacco for eight weeks.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. Flacco gets hurt, and in comes Lamar, and two MVPs later, here he is. Right.
The norm is these guys are going to look crazy for a little bit, and you got to ask yourself, would they be better served not playing for a little bit?
And you know what? You know what is making this whole conversation just that much more ridiculous? Is Brock Purdy. Brock Purdy, the quarterback drafted at the very end of the draft, who was just thrown in to fill in for two guys that were out.
Right, but that's why I say, though, he sat for, what was that, 10 games, and he came in against Miami and looked great. Mm-hmm. I don't think he would have looked like that week one. Like, I don't think he would have looked like that. I think the fact that he even got half the season to just sit there and learn the NFL game and get more reps, I think it helped him.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about this tomorrow. We appreciate you for being with us. Hit the thumbs up before you go, and we'll see you tomorrow beginning at 10 a.m. here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320.
Vamos, Gigantes.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.